So a huge political victory for Obama, but is this historic ruling a victory for the American people, and what does it mean for you? To discuss this, I was joined by Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason.com and the co-author of The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America.
I think you're absolutely right. This is a huge win for Barack Obama, and it's not necessarily a crushing defeat for the Republicans or for Mitt Romney or for opponents of Obamacare, but it's not a great day either. But for the American people, I think, you know, there are reasons not to get not to be happy about this. And the first is, you know, that the Supreme Court essentially said there are no limits to what government can make you do or not do. They didn't use the Commerce Clause, as people were thinking about. They relied on the taxing power. But that's troubling. The second thing is that, you know, from a financial point of view, and you can talk about the politics of it and stuff like that, but there's no question that Obamacare is going to be massively expensive, and it's going to be much more expensive than we were led to believe. And then the third reason is that there's a very little reason to believe that despite expanding health insurance to cover, you know, some 30 million extra people, it's not at all clear that this law is actually going to lead to better health outcomes for anybody in America. So I think it's a, you know, I think it's a pretty significant loss for the American people.
Well, what this law does do is it would require everybody to be covered, and it also covers things that the American people seem to be in agreement in terms of being able to remain on your parents' insurance until you're 26 years old. Pre-existing conditions, you can't get denied. If you have pre-existing conditions, these seem to be very positive things for people that fear that they won't be able to get the medical care that they need.
There's no question that those are very popular. Whether or not they actually have a lot of effect on the way people end up getting health insurance or more properly understood, you know, what one of the major problems with Obamacare throughout it is that it conflates the idea of health insurance with good health coverage or with medical care. The net effect, I suspect, is of Obamacare is going to be that health care costs are going to go up and that actual health coverage is going to shrink. The only way that Obamacare is going to bend the cost curve down, and if you remember, we used to talk a lot about that in the early days of this legislation, is by through government channels reducing the amount that doctors and physicians and hospitals get paid for performing certain types of services. When you do that, you're going to have fewer people performing those services. This is the problem in Medicaid. Medicaid is a system by which the government covers poor people. They pay doctors so little per service that you have very few doctors, you know, performing these services. So you have, you know, arguably you have everybody covered, but nobody actually seems to get health care.
But if you look at in terms of Medicare, a lot of elderly people depend on that. I mean, would you be able to tell your grandmother, sorry, that no Medicaid for you? I mean, a lot of people depend on, elderly people depend on this.
You know, Medicare is the flip side. Medicaid deals with poor people. Poor people are not politically connected. You know, nobody really roots for them, so they get screwed on one side. Medicare, which is, you know, covers people 65 and over, these are people who are wealthy, who are politically motivated, and who have a lot of clout in Congress. And what you find in Medicare is that literally everybody who's in the system gets more than they put into the system. That's why it is unsustainable. Medicare is the main reason, which is a single-payer system because the government pays the bills. Medicare is the reason why health care costs are going up, why the federal budget is busted. And to the extent that Obamacare at all is going to lead people down the road of something like Medicare, we're just going to see costs be relieved. And the short answer in the current issue of Reason Magazine, the argument is a tricycle, which is basically saying, you know what, if you're over 65, you should not automatically get Medicare if you can buy your own health coverage. That's wrong. It's robbing from young poor people, relatively speaking, and giving it to wealthy old people, relatively speaking. So, in fact, I would be happy to say to my grandparents or to my parents, if you can afford your own health care coverage, you should pay for it. You should not take money out of the wages of young people and
have. But Nick, the reality is that millions of people cannot afford health insurance. We have 45 million people in the U.S. today that are not insured, and it's increasingly becoming less affordable. So that's just the reality.
Here, to break those numbers down, first off, everybody agrees that out of the uninsured, about half of those people could afford it if they chose to. They don't buy it for a lot of reasons. These are not people
because it's so expensive.
No, but it's also because if you're young, to buy a large health plan because you're not going to use it. And this gets to the point, you know, 50 cents of virtual or Obamacare, virtually 50 cents of every healthcare dollar in the country was already being spent by government sources, whether it's Medicare or Medicaid or other kinds of subsidies. And what that always does is that it creates a price inflation. We know this in medicine. We know this in college costs. We know this everywhere in housing prices. When you can get free or reduced price money through the government or other sources, the markets, the providers jack up prices to soak up as much of that subsidy as possible. So one of the very reasons why healthcare costs are so expensive is because they're heavily subsidized. And then when you have the government saying, okay, you know what, we're going to deal with spiraling costs by subsidizing it more, all it does is push prices up. It does not actually address the root problem. And I'd say the root problem in medical care and medical coverage and healthcare in America is the absence of free markets. This is arguably the most heavily regulated market for goods and services in the country. And we need to actually get back to treating healthcare like a commodity or a service that should be negotiated on free markets, open markets, as much as possible. That's what drives innovation and it drives prices down. And then for the people who are too poor or too infirm or too sick to be able to afford it, we can cover them with some kind of program where we help them out. But that is not the problem. The problem is that we don't have enough markets in healthcare right now.
Well, we are seeing the effects of healthcare being treated like a commodity. And you had mentioned earlier that it's the affordability of healthcare. And I wanted to point out this interesting trend we're seeing today, people going outside of the U.S. for medical care. Why? Because it's cheaper, much cheaper. You know, here's one example. Take the gallbladder surgery. If you want to get surgery here in the U.S., your insurance may or may not cover it. It costs you between $7,000 and $15,000. That's just for a part of it. In total, it would cost $50,000 for the procedure from start to finish. But, you know, you can get that same procedure done in India, in Mexico, and Costa Rica for a quarter of that cost. Right. Doesn't that show that something is wrong, that people need to go outside of the U.S. to get these procedures done?
If it shows anything, and I'm not, you know, medical tourism is an interesting phenomenon and it's a growing one. And for instance, a lot of people from Canada come down to the United States to get operations and procedures that they can't get in Canada because they're on long waiting lists and whatnot. And you pay cash and it's cheaper. But, you know, what this shows is that we have made a major mistake where we talk about health insurance when we're actually talking about prepayment plans. Insurance typically covers against the odds of catastrophic problems. If you need a surgery, if you need a hospitalization, if you have a heart attack. But our insurance coverage is always covering things like regular checkups, every doctor's visit, prescriptions, and things like that. And if we had health insurance that was more like auto insurance, where it doesn't cover your oil changes and it doesn't cover your tune-ups, but it covers big ticket items or defrays the cost of those, we would have much better healthcare delivery in this country, because doctors and providers would be competing in order to give you the best service at the best price. You know, realistically, there is no reason why, healthcare is any different than providing hamburgers. For God's sake, people want to buy them. Sellers want to sell them. If you get the government out of the business of subsidizing and regulating and kind of straitjacketing markets where you have to do this and not that, and you're not allowed to sell insurance policies out of certain geographic areas and things like that, you would see a free market in healthcare that would cover many, many more people at much lower cost with much better outcomes.
I'm not really sure about that hamburger comparison. I think people usually, they want a hamburger. Healthcare is something that you need. And unfortunately, people are finding that they need medical care and they can't afford it. And, you know, what ends up happening is that these people that are uninsured, they end up in the hospital and the hospital can't deny them. So who ends up footing the bill? Taxpayers. So why not have everybody insured and not have to end up in a worst case scenario and end up in the hospital? And in the end, the taxpayers are footing the bill anyways.
Here is one of the things. First off, emergency room care, for instance, is something like 2% of all healthcare spending. So it's not a huge amount. And it's simply a fiction to say that people who are denied regular health insurance don't go to checkups and then they end up in the emergency room when they have a major problem. It's just not that big a problem in terms of the pricing of healthcare. But, you know,
emergency room visits are, they aren't insured.
But it is overall, it's only 2% of all dollars spent on healthcare in a given year. So let's say you get rid of that, you've taken things down from 100 cents to 98 cents. It's not a big savings. You ask, why shouldn't we force everybody to have insurance? And there's a bunch of reasons. First off is that, you know, healthcare is not something that everybody should be forced to take. And if I'm young and I'm relatively healthy and I want to take my chances, without having a major medical plan that covers every aspect of my life, I should be free to do that in a free society. I don't have a right to make a claim on you when I screw up because of my decision, but that's a separate issue. But more importantly, and we know this, is that if you force everybody into insurance, then you also have to guarantee certain types of coverage, and it drives prices up. It does not reduce prices. And finally, when you, you know, and then it reduces services. We know this from Canada. Talk about Canada is everybody is covered, and there are longer waiting lists for all sorts of procedures and things like that. It's just a fact, and it may be that, you know, enough people want to say, you know what, I'm willing to put up with less access to.
You know, I think though that the waiting lines. Let's take Switzerland for example. The waiting lines there are actually shorter, where there is universal health care.
There's not universal health care in the way that there is in Canada, for instance. It's not a single-payer system, and it's not government-run. We are moving inexorably towards that, and there is no reason to believe that, given the way that Americans want health care, and we want health care, we consume more of health care, not simply because our procedures are more expensive, but rather we go to the doctor more often. And we expect more out of our health systems than other countries do. There is no reason to believe that increasing government involvement in a field, whatever economic activity you're talking about, there's no way it's going to reduce the cost.
Nick, I think it's interesting that you say that Americans want to go to the doctor more, but unfortunately, what happens is people get really sick and they can't afford to pay their medical bills, and it's one of the primary reasons why people here in the U.S. go bankrupt.
That again, we can debate the actual stats of that. That is also I think that's over exaggerated, and rather it becomes a way by which you decide to declare bankruptcy. But the fact of the matter is that relatively few people are going bankrupt because they don't have health insurance or they can't afford health insurance. The fact of the matter is that, I mean, if you take it back to a very core concept, which is that we know that when markets are allowed to operate in relatively free fashion, you tend to get lower prices and better service. It's not, you know, and then what that means is that in something like healthcare and something like education and in other goods that people really care about, you know, you can come up with ways to cover the people who can't buy coverage on their own, even in a looser market. But the idea that somehow the government is going to come in, and this is the same government that delivers horrible, horrible healthcare through Medicaid and massively expensive healthcare through Medicare to senior, actually relatively wealthy, many of them could afford healthcare. We give it to them for free or reduced prices anyway. We're looking at a disaster that will start on, you know, that has been unfolding for the past 40 years in America as the government's gotten more and more involved in healthcare, and it's only going to get worse.
All right, Nick, we're going to have to leave it off there. A historic day today at the Supreme Court, but I have a feeling that this battle is not over. Republicans are vowing to repeal Obamacare, so it looks like there's a lot more controversy to come. Thanks so much for coming on the show. That was Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason.com and co-author of the book The Declaration of Independence: How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America.